We're holding on Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We're still discussing what we're using the Gzeira Shava that we said on Gimel Amud Beis of Aleha, where it says Aleha by a woman and her sister, and it says Aleha in connection with Yibum, that at the beginning of the Sugya we had said, from there we learn that an erva, such as a wife's sister, you don't do Yibum with. So we've been discussing all the ins and outs of that. So now we're talking about, on the other hand, Rebbe learns from a different pasuk. He learns from the fact that it could have said v'lokach and v'yibim, and instead it says v'lokocha and v'yibma, that we learn from that that the erva herself, as well as her tzara, is also in Yibum. And we said also in that connection that the Chachamim are using the word Aleha by Yibum also to teach us that it can be Baal Korcha, we're going to learn as we go through the Masechta that Daraisa, all you need for Yibum is Bia, only the Drabbanan, but you need a Kedushin before it, which is called Maimer, which we're going to be talking about extensively as we go through the Masechta. So, and the point is that even Baal Korcha, even if he had relations with her Baal Korcha, it still takes effect, and Yibum takes effect. So the Gemara says, "V'Rebbe Hai Aleha Mai Oved Lei." Now, Rebbe, we said, is learning that concept, or to be exact, what we said was that, I said that wrongly. The Chachamim learn from the fact that it says V'Yibma, that it means that it can be Baal Korcha. Rebbe learns that same concept from Yibama Yavai Aleha. So then in that case, what is he doing with Aleha in connection with Achos Ishtoi, where it says that the Legalis Ervosa Aleha B'chayeha, where the Pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to have relations with your wife's sister, and it says the word Aleha over there. So what is Rebbe doing with that word Aleha if he doesn't need it for the Gzeira Shava, and he's learning that you don't do Yibum with Achos Ishtoi, instead he's learning from Olakocha and the Yibma. So the Rebbe, Hai Aleha, my Oved Lei. So what is Rebbe doing with that word Aleha? And the answer is Miboyle L'chidatanya. He uses it as part of a different Zeta Shava. Namely, that we learn in a Braisa. In Parashas Vayikra, which is last week's Parasha, the Torah had told us about various cases of Chathas. You have a case where the Tzibur brings a Chathas because the Sanhedrin made a mistake in Halacha. You have actually to go in the order of it is in the Pesukim. You have the case where the Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol, who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, paskins for himself a case in Halacha wrongly and ends up doing an Aveira on the basis of his wrong sack. Then you have a similar kind of thing where the Tzibur brings a Par for a Chathas. You have something where the Tzibur does the same thing because the Sanhedrin made a mistake in Halacha. Then you have a case where a king does something that makes him Chayiv Chathas. And then you have a case where a commoner does something that makes him Chayiv Chathas. So the Kohen Mashiach and the Tzibur will bring a Par in that case. The king will bring a male goat. And the commoner will bring a female sheep or a female goat. Then you also have elsewhere in Parashas Shlach, the Torah also talks about what happens if the mistake that was done by the tzibur or by the individual involved of a dezara. We're there for the tzibur they bring a male goat, and for the yachid they bring a female, and for the yachid they bring a female goat. So we're going to be discussing the ins and outs of that until the middle of Tesamadala. So we're asking, what is Rebbe using the word Aleha in the case of that's mentioned regarding one of the Arayas, Achos Ishtoi? What is he using that for? So the answer is Miboyle L'chidatanya. He uses it for this that we learn in a Braisa, L'chidatznam, really, it's actually a Mishnah in Herodias. Ein Chayovin Beistin, El Al Dovash is Donet Koris V'Shigotei Chapa. When we say that Beis Din is chayev to bring the special korban, the par helam dovash al tzibur, is only if the mistake that they made in halacha is on something where if it was done the mezid, a person would be chayev koris, and if he does it for shogig, then he brings a chatas. Meaning, so what Tosfos points out, Dovrishes doine kardes means as opposed to lavim that do not involve kardes. If, let's say, for example, Beistin had paskin that, let's say that you're allowed to wear shatnez, then that wouldn't necessarily, that wouldn't trigger a, that wouldn't trigger a parahelam dovrishal tzibur because there's no kardes in it. And when we say shigigose chatas, there are two kinds of essays that involve kardes. But if a person fails the Pesach and Mila, but if a person fails to bring a Koran Pesach, or fails to have a bris milah, they can get, they will get kares for it, but they don't bring a chatas for it. You bring a chatas only for a lav that involves kares. So therefore, by saying she's donate kares for shigase chatas, we're limiting it only to the lavim that involve kares. So not any other kind of lav, and not the essays that involve kares. And same thing by avodah zarah, as we're going to talk about now. So, b'cheina Mashiach, the same thing is true as far as the Koyen Mashiach, that, he brings his par helam davashal tzibur, he brings his par Koyen Mashiach only in the same kind of case where the mistake that he made in halacha was something involving zdone karetz and shigase chatas, and continues the Mishnah, v'loy b'avodas kechavim, the same thing, when the tzibur has to bring a sorir for a mistake involving avodah zarah, same thing. El al dava shachayov and al zdonik kares v'shigase chatas. That would apply only if the mistake they made in halacha would be something that involves kares b'mezid and a chatas b'shogeg. Namely, for example, so if based in paskin that you're allowed to worship an avodah zarah in a certain way with one of there's different things. The person is chayev for worshiping avodah zarah with one of the four avodas, bringing a shechting a korban, pouring a libation, burning something in honor of the avodah zarah or bowing to it, but not with each individual avodah zarah, also the normal way in which it's worshipped. For example, going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur, throwing stones at Merkulos, etc. So if they made a mistake in one of those, in Paskin, that one of those is Mutter, that's when we're talking about the Seiri Avodah Zarah. But not, for example, if they had Paskin, that you're allowed, let's say, to hug or kiss an Avodah Zarah, because there's no Kodes in that. And similarly not if they said that you're allowed to verbally say, I accept this thing as my God, because there's no mice in it. Anyway, so that's the rule. So for the par helam davashal tzibur, it has to be, or for the siri avodah zarah, it has to be that the mistake in halacha was something that if it was done b'mezid would be chayiv kares, and if it was done b'shogeg would be chayiv achatas. Utznan nami, then the Mishnah continues over there in Hodias. Kol mitzvah shabbat Torah shachayoven al zdone kares v'shigase chatas. Any mitzvah in the Torah that's in that category, where b'mezid would be chayiv kares, meaning that as opposed to, in other words, the other lavim that are not chayiv kares, and shigase chatas as opposed to things that don't involve a maisa, yochid maybe kisva oseira. Then the rule is an individual who's not a king and not a kohen gadol and not a tzibur brings a female sheep or a female goat as a korban. Nasi maybe sir. The nasi, the king, instead brings davka, a male goat. Mashiach or based in with the empire, and the kohen Mashiach who was anointed with the shemana mishcha or the beistin who made such a mistake, they bring a par. And Rabbah is kechavim, and if the mistake involved avodah zarah, yochid, nasi, u'mashiach, then all three types of yechidim, mevi'in se'ira, they bring davka, a female sheep. So even the king who normally brings a female goat. So even the king, so had the king done, let's say, for example, he did something, he, for example, broke Shabbos b'shogeg, or ate chela b'shogeg, or whatever, he would bring a male goat. But here, where he worshipped avodah zarah b'shogeg, instead he's bringing a female goat. And davka a goat, not a sheep. And the yochid also, even though with other averas, he has the choice of a sheep or a goat. Here with davka a goat. And the same thing, the Kohen Mashiach. Even though had he paskin for himself that eating chaylev, that eating a certain kind of chaylev is mutter, for example, if he had done that, he would be bringing a par. But instead, now, because his mistake was that he thought that a certain kind of avodah zarah is mutter, then instead he's bringing a female goat. Tzibur, Mavim, Par Vesor, and then if that mistake happens with the Tzibur, then they bring a Par and a Sor. Par La Oila Vesor La Chatas. They bring the Par as an Oila, and they bring the Sor, the goat, as a Chatas. which is, again, different than if they had made a mistake, if Beis Din made a mistake in some other area of halacha, let's say Chelev or Shabbos or Arayas or what have you, then they would only be bringing a par as a chatas, but here instead, the par is an oila and the sur is for a chatas. So now, menohani mili, so now where do we know all these rules from? So like this, the Tanna Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, regarding the Tzibur, so the Pasuk describes where the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in Halacha. For example, they say that a certain kind of Chelev is Mutter. And then the Pasuk says, then they bring the power of Helam Dabash al Tzibur. Rebbe Omer, Nemer kan Aleha v'nemer lahalan Aleha. Here's where we have a Gzeira Shava from Aleha. Not the Gzeira Shava of Aleha that we talked about beginning back on Gimel on the days where we're learning between Yibum and Achos Ishtoi, because Rebbe says the one by Yibum is being used for a different purpose. He's using it to say that Yibum works even by Al-Karcha. Rather, he's saying the Gzeira Shava from Aleha is between Achos Ishtoi and this pasuk over here about the Par Helam Davash Al Tzibur. Now, if a man has relations with his wife's sister, that's one of the arayas. So like all the other arayas, there'll be kores involved. And if he does it b'shogeg, then he'll be bringing a chatas. Actually, Tosfos points out, I mean, we're in the middle of trying to figure out that he's bringing a chatas. Okay, so we use the expression shegase chatas, because eventually that's how it is. Not because we haven't yet learned that. We're still trying to figure that out now. Anyway. So just like Achos Ishto is in that category, Afkan, Dovash, Chayovan, Azdoni, Kores, Hashem, Gose, Chatas, the same way. What kind of case does Beis Din bring the power helm, does the Tzibur bring the power helm, Dovash, or Tzibur, is when it was that kind of Isser that they were accidentally matir. And so that takes care of Ashkechon Tzibur, so that demonstrates that that's the case with the Tzibur. Moshiach Menola, and how do we know the same rule applies to the Kohen Gadol, to the Kohen Moshiach? So, Dechtiv, Moshiach La'ash Masa'am, because when it introduces the concept of the Kohen Gadol bringing such a korban, it says that he is guilty La'ash Masa'am to the guilt of the people. So the simple meaning is, he would say, in other words, that when the Kohen Gadol does an Aveda, then it reflects badly on the whole people, because he's their representative. But we're darshaning that it means, Harei Mashiach Ketzibur, means that the Kohen Mashiach is exactly like the Tzibur in that regard, and whatever it is that you need for the Tzibur to be Chayiv in the Par Helam Davash al Tzibur is exactly the same criteria as you need for the Kohen Mashiach to be Chayiv in his Par Kohen Mashiach. Next, Yochid the Nasi, and how do we know the same thing applies to the Yochid and to the Nasi? Now, they're not bringing the same kind of korban. Again, the Tzibur and the Kohen Mashiach are exactly the same in the sense that they're both bringing a par. The Yochid is going to be bringing, as we said, a female sheep or a female goat, and the Nasi is going to be bringing after a male goat. So the criteria for them to bring a chatas is exactly the same, that it has to be something that involves Zonei Kores and Shikvivase Chatas. So how do we know that? So ask your mitzvahs. There we have another Zeta Shava on the word mitzvahs, because both by the power helam davar shel tzibur and by the power kohen mashiach, actually it says that he violated one of mitzvahs Hashem, and by the nasi and the yochid it also says that they were over on one of mitzvahs Hashem. So that explains how, therefore, so in all four cases, the chatas is triggered only if it was something that's zonei kores and shegase chatas. So therefore, in other words, again, not a lav that doesn't involve kores, and not anything that doesn't involve a maisa. So not if they were over on Pesach and Mila. So not if they were not if they failed to bring the korban Pesach or failed to have a bris milah. Now, then we said that there were other rules with avodah zarah. The loy ba'avodas kechavim, the Mishnah had continued that when it comes to avodah zarah, also they're bringing a korban el al davash is the chayavin al zonei kores v'ashad gaseh chatas. That again, it's only if it was something that the mezid rechayiv kores. So not, for example, if they hugged or kissed the avodah zarah, and it has to be shig gaseh chatas, meaning not if they just verbally said to the avodah zarah, you're my God. So how do we know that? So tzibur v'avodas kechavim yalef me'enei. The fact that by the tzibur that applies to avodah zarah, that we learn on another gzeira shava on the word me'enei, because since it says by the other, it says by the par helam davash al tzibur, it says that something was hidden me'enei ho'eda, and by avodah zarah and parshas shlach, it says the same thing, that the so therefore we have a Gzeira Shava on that, that teaches us that the same rules apply to other Averis as they do to Avodah Zarah. And then the Korban is different, again, because in Parashat Shlach, it says that they bring a power for an Ola and a Surah for a Chatas. Yochid, Nasi, or Mashiach, and how do we know? The same rule applies to the individual and the king and the, to the commoner, the king and the Kohen Mashiach, mi v'im nefesh achas, because the pasuk goes on to say, in Shlach, after it talks about what happens with the Tzibur, then it says, v'im nefesh achas, and if one person does such an aveira, avodah zarah b'shogeg, implying any individual, echad yachid, v'echad nasi, v'echad mashiach, v'mashma, and so it includes any kind of individual, no matter what his station, no matter what his station in life, and vav moisif al inyan rishon, and the vav, the fact that it says v'im nefesh, means that it's coming to add to what we said before, v'yalamed tachten min ha'elyon. So what we're learning further along, that the yachid in that case brings a sur as a chatas, we learn from what it said before, from the previous case about the tzibur, namely that the rules are the same, in order to be chayev in the chatas, it has to be something that involves zonei kores and shigigase chatas. In fact, Tosfos discusses, I mean, the psukim do mention over there kores, so you don't even really need, why would you even need the vav? And because the Gemara discusses in other places, Tosfos explains that the pasuk says that if a person is megadif es Hashem, then he gets kores. But what does megadif mean? There are two possibilities. It can mean worshiping Avodah Zarah, but it can also mean cursing Hashem. So if we say that it means cursing Hashem, then it doesn't tell us anything about Avodah Zarah. Therefore, we need the Vav to tell us that Sukkim are telling us that if a person worshipped Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, that he's bringing a sur. So the point is, so now that we've learned all these rules, we see that one of these details, the beginning of how we know in general that these korbanos are only triggered by something that's zonei kores and shigigase chatas, we learned from a Gzeira Shava involving the word Aleha, namely the aleha that it says by a wife's sister. So there you go. That's what Rebbe is using that word aleha for. He's not using it for the Gzeira Shava involving Yibum, but rather for a different Gzeira Shava. So the question is, Rabbanan, what about the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe and learn the Gzeira Shava aleha as teaching us that you don't do Yibum with Achos Ishtoi or any of the other Arayas? So, Hai Svarim and Alavu. So where do they learn that from if they don't have the word Aleha available for that Gzeira Shava? And the answer is, Nafkulahu v'demachrit of Yeshua Libre. They learn it, rather, from what Rabbi Yeshua, in other Gemara says, I think Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, said, taught to his son. Namely, the Pasuk says over there, in Shlach, when it talks about the Seiri Avodah Zarah, it says, Torah achas yilachem mo'osa b'shvaga. It says there should be one Torah for you, one rule for you, when a person does an Aveda b'shogeg. And the next Pasuk continues, v'hanefesh ashatasa b'yod rama. Any person who acts in a high-handed, deliberate way against Hashem, and then the Pasuk says, it's Hashem hum agadif, and v'nichrosa, he gets kares. So therefore it means, so now we're understanding, the Chachamim will understand that the word as Hashem u'magadif over there refers to a person who's worshipping Avodah Zarah. We just said that Tosfos points out that Rebbe holds that Magadif does not, it means blaspheming Hashem, but the Chachamim hold that as Hashem u'magadif refers to worshipping Avodah Zarah. So therefore, since the Pasuk is saying, that a person who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayav Karis, if he does it amazed, obviously if it is Eidim Vasra, that's Skila, but we're not even getting into that. But the point is, therefore, huksha kavach tora kula la'avodas kachavim. So we're making it by saying tora achas yolachem la'oseh b'shogeg. Whatever avera a person does b'shogeg, he's chayav achatas. And then it continues that avodah zarah means huksha kavach tora kula la'avodas kachavim. Means we're making a hefesh between the rest of the Torah and avodah zarah. Ma avodas kachavim davar shechayavin al zonei kores v'ashigase achatas. By avodah zarah, when is he chayav achatas? The pasuk is mentioning kores, so it has to be something where b'mezid he'd be chayav kores, and therefore b'shogeg is chayav achatas. Namely, in other words, not like we said before. For example, so as we said before, not for example if he just hugs or kisses the avodah zarah, there's no kores in that. Not if he says to the avodah zarah, "You are my God," where even though that would make him chayav kores, there's no mice involved. So it has to be a lav that involves kores and involves a ma'isa. The same thing. The Hekesh teaches us Called Dover Shachayovan al Zernikuris Vashugase Chatas. When you chayav a chatas in other areas of mitzvahs is only the same thing. Only when the mezid it would be chayav kuris, the shogig would be chayav a chatas. So doing melacha on Shabbos, eating chaylev, arayas, etc. So they learn it from that. They learn it from that hekish rather than learning it from the gzeirah shavah. And again, the rest of the limud is going to be the same for them as it is for Rebbe. Ashkechan yochid v'nasi u'mashiach bein v'abad v'chavim bein v'sham mitzvahs. So that tells us, therefore, that any individual, whether it comes to Avodah Zarah or other mitzvahs, is going it's going to be a little different. Part of the limud is going to be the same as Rebbe, but Rebbe had started with that we learn from Par Helam Davashot Tzibur via a Gzeirah Shavah, and then afterwards we need another Gzeirah Shavah from the word Me'ene, and from the word Ve'im Nefesh Achas to teach us that the same rules apply to Avodah Zarah. The Chum are doing the other way around. They're coming from Avodah Zarah through this Hekesh that we just said, and then we're using other ways to learn that it applies to other mitzvahs as well. So Ashkechan Yochid V'Nasi Mashiach Bein Ba'avadas Kechavim V'Bein Mesham Mitzvahs. So that tells us then that any individual who worships Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg or who does any other thing that's Chayav Kores and he does it B'Shogeg, that he would be Chayav Achatas. Because again, we have this Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and the rest of the Torah. Sibur Ba'avadas Kechavim Minayin. How do we know the same thing applies to the Sibur Ba'avadas Zarah? So Omakura Vi'im Nefesh, again, because the Pasuk introduces the part about the individual with a Vav, Vi'im Nefesh. And the Chachamim will say the other way around, V'yalamed Elyon Mitachtin. Rebbe had said that the Vav teaches us that once we know about the Tzibur, then we learn from the Vav to the Yachid, because he started out with the Tzibur being Chayav first, and only then goes to the Yachid. The Chachamim, who learned first from the Yachid, so they say the other way around. The Vav ties them together and tells us that we can learn the Tzibur from the Yachid. Just like the Yachid is bringing a Chatas only when Zerne Kores, and then Shigulat Echatas, so it is, and that's true of Avodah Zarah or any other mitzvah because of the Hekesh, so it is with the Tzibur as well. And Elok Tzibur B'Sham Mitzvahs Menolon, and then how would we know that applies to regarding other mitzvahs to the Tzibur besides for Avodah Zarah? So that, Yalak Me'ene Me'ene, that they use the same Gzeirah Shavah from the word Me'ene as Rebbe had used. But again, in the other way around, Rebbe had started with, Rebbe had said that we know that the Tzibur is Chayev by Avodah Zarah just as they are by other mitzvahs from a Gzeirah Shavah from the word Me'ene. Here, the Chachamim are using that same Gzeirah Shavah, Me'ene, to say also that the Tzibur is Chayev by other mitzvahs as well, learning from Tziri Avodah Zarah. So the bottom line is the Chachamim do not need the Gzeirah Shavah Aleha, because instead they learn the beginning of this from a Hekesh, and they learn the other way around. Rebbe said we're starting with the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and working from that to learning from the Gzeirah Shavah Aleha that it applies only to Zdorne Kores and Shavuot Sechatos, and then he goes and continues to apply it to the other one. The Chachamim say we don't need that because we have to begin with a Gzeirah Shavah between Avodah Zarah and the other mitzvahs, and by Avodah Zarah it says clearly in the Pasuk over there that there's Kores. So now the question is, Rebbe Hai Torah Achas Mai Ovidle. So now the Chachamim had said that we have the Torah says Torah Achas Yolachem La'Oisa B'Shgoga, and then it says V'Anefesh Hashitasa B'Yad Rama. That was, they said, there's a Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and other Averis. So Rebbe, who doesn't hold of that, he learns rather the comparison of Avodah Zarah, of Avodah Zarah and the other mitzvahs. He learns that from the Gzeirah Shavah Me'ene. Which again, we said the Chachamim are using that same Gzeirah Shavah for, the Chachamim are using that same Gzeirah Shavah as well, but they're using it for the other way around to say that the Tzibur is Chayav by other mitzvahs. So Rebbe, what is he doing with the word Torah Achas, which shows that there's a Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and other Averis? So the answer is Mibarga V'chidatanya. He uses it to teach us a different thing that we learn in a Braisa. Now we find when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Torah distinguishes between individuals and a whole Tzibur. Namely, you consider what happens when an individual worships Avodah Zarah b'mezid versus when a tzibur, a whole city, worships Avodah Zarah b'mezid. In that case, they're an irani dachas. And in irani dachas, the pasuk tells us, you don't give them skila. Had it been individuals who worship Avodah Zarah, then each individual would be getting skila. Instead, because it's the whole city, an irani dachas, or the majority of it, then whoever worships the Vedazara over there gets hereg instead. That's one of the two things for which there's hereg, the other one being a retzeach. So the fishim of sinner shechilik hakosav and yichidim lemerubim, we find that the kosav makes a distinction between yichidim and merubim. Yechidim the skila, the individuals who worship the Vedazara get skila. Lefichach mamonan pola, therefore their money. Their money is saved. Their money and their possessions are not confiscated by Beis Din, and they're not burned or anything. They're given to their Yoshim like any other person who's executed by Beis Din. But Merubin v'Sayif, when you have a large number of people, when you have an Irani Dachas, then they get Sayif, they get beheaded. Lefichach Mamonon Obad, and therefore their money is lost, their money is destroyed. What's the Lefichach? What does one have to do with the other? There's a vort that's brought from the Vilna Goyim, that the vort is an Irani Dachas. In effect, we consider them like Goyim, and therefore that has to do with why we don't treat them like a regular case of Mitzvah Spastin and give their money to their Yoshim. Because, in other words, they have a whole different, they're in a whole different category now. Now that they're a city, they're considered like Goyim. There's a Sicha, on the other hand, in Chelek Tes, where the Rebbe discusses, it's not really so much because of that. It's more because now they become a Tzibur, and a Tzibur is treated differently than a Yachid. Anyway, in fact, the Rebbe talks about it, and they're in the Sicha, that Amam holds that if the people of the Irani Dachas do Tshuva, then they're not an Irani Dachas anymore, and the Rebbe disagrees with that. So the Rebbe brings over there from the Rogachov, the vort is, we're not saying they're going to be completely potter, but then they'll be judged as individuals, because now that they did tshuva, the fact that they created a tzibur, worshipping Avodah Zarah, now that tzibur is undone, now they're back to being yechidim, and the usual rule for yechidim applies, where they get skila, but their possessions go to their yoshim rather than being burnt. Anyway. So, since you find by Avodah Zarah that there's this distinction between yochid and tzibur, you would think, therefore, there should be a distinction between their korbanos, that maybe if the people of one whole city worship Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, they shouldn't be bringing the regular individual korban for Avodah Zarah. There should be some other kind of korban that they bring. Talmud Lomar, Torah Achas Yolachem. Rebbe says, that is why. It says, Torah Achas Yolachem. There's one rule for you when a person does Avodah Zarah b'shogeg. Namely, that unless it's the entire tzibur, unless it's the based in Paskin on behalf of the entire tzibur, then you're not bringing anything other than the regular individual korban for Avodah Zarah, namely a female goat. But Maskifot of Chilki Mehagrunya, Rav Chilki Mehagrunya says, I have a problem with that. Taima de Kotzer Rachmana, Torah Achas Yolachem. So what are you telling me, according to Rebbe? Only because it says the word Torah Achas Yolachem, only because of that, are we saying that the korban is the same whether it was an individual or an entire city? So what are you telling me? And if you didn't have those words in the pasuk, then you would think that a city that worshipped Avodah Zarah b'shogeg should bring a different kind of korban. My laisu, you have to ask what kind of korban potentially would they bring? Laisu par. Should we tell them that in that case they're bringing a par? Can't be. Tzibur b'sham mitzvahs u'gemaisu. The tzibur brings that only by other mitzvahs. So only when it's the entire tzibur, and only when it's other mitzvahs, we never find the concept that such a thing should apply to a city, to a city who worship Avodah Zarah. Kispa, should they be bringing a female sheep? Yochid b'sham mitzvahs u'gemaisu. Again, that's reserved for a yochid by other mitzvahs. Should they be bringing a male goat? Nasi b'sham mitzvahs u'demaisi. That's reserved for a nasi, for the king, when he's over on other mitzvahs. Par v'oil of a sor l'chatas. Should we tell them that they bring the city would have to bring a par for an oil and a sor for a chatas? Can't be. Tzibur b'avad is kuchav u'demaisu. That's the kind of thing that the tzibur brings only by Avodah Zarah. The elamais teira. So what would you be left with by elimination? Among the various korbanos that we find are brought by different kinds of people for averus b'shogeg, the only one that's left at this point is a female goat. Well, yochid nami haina korbanos. New, and that's exactly the same thing as the yochid is bringing. So therefore, so it's not like, so, So it's not like, so Rabbi Chilki here is saying, it's not like we would have had a different kind of korban potentially available that we could have said a city that worshipped Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg should be bringing, such that now we should be saying that instead now the Torah is telling you that they don't. There is no other korban available by elimination. Now, of course, Rishonim point out, I mean, the Gemara could have said, so what? I mean, there's many other kinds of korbanos available. We're talking only so far. We're talking, for example, so far, only a par of a kivsa and a seira, or a sir. We could also, for example, there could be an ego. There could be a male pedas. But the Gemara is assuming we're not just going to make up out of thin air a new kind of korban for Avodah Zarah. We're going to be limiting ourselves to the kinds of korbanos that we find that are brought for shogeg in other circumstances, which is only one of the ones that we said. So therefore, the bottom line is, Reb Chilki is saying, it seems that every other kind of korban is already spoken for. So what would be the havam in it to think that a city should bring one of these korbanos when by elimination the only one they could bring that wouldn't be exactly the same as somebody else would be a seira. And a seira is exactly what an individual brings. So that's what it would be. It would come out anyway that each person is bringing that korban. The answer is iftir. Still, you need the word Torah achas, sakar ad chamina, because otherwise you would think, hoyo v'tzibur v'hoyro maisu paula oil v'sar l'chadas. Maybe since the tzibur, when they make a mistake in halacha outside of Avodah Zarah, they bring a par for an oil when it is involving Avodah Zarah, when the tzibur makes a mistake in halacha as far as Avodah Zarah, they bring a par for an oil and a sar for a chadas. Inu nami nesu ipcha. Maybe they would be bringing those same two korbanos, just it would be flipped around. The par would be for a chadas and the sur for an ola, and we need therefore the pasuk Torah achas to tell us otherwise. Inami tzorech ve'in lechakana, or another possibility, maybe the Torah would be telling us if a whole city worships Avodah Zarah, there is a korban they should be bringing, but there's no korban that they can be, that we can find that they would bring. So tzorech, they need a kapara ve'in lechakana, but there's no way of fixing it up. In other words, the attack is stuck in that case. They don't bring a korban at all because there's no alternative. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, from the word Torah Achas, we're learning that it's not so. They do, in fact, have a takana. They are considered exactly like Yechidim. The concept of the tzibur bringing such a korban applies only if it was a tzibur of the majority of the Jewish people, or at least the majority of one shevet, as the Gemara discussed in Hodias, but not just one individual city. An individual city where they worship Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, each person is going to be bringing his own seira, like the case where he did it on his own. Okay, so that's what we're learning from the word Torah Achas, according to Rebbe. So therefore, as opposed to according to the Chachamim, that's where we learn in the first place what kind of Avera you bring a korban for.
Why do we know that we cannot offer one of the korbanos that's offered elsewhere? What's preventing us from doing that?
Because we're saying that the Torah is telling us specifically that the Tzibur brings such and such a korban, and the king brings such and such a korban, and the Kohen Gadol brings such and such a korban, then by elimination we can't say that there, unless we have a source for it in the pasuk, that a city that worshipped Avodah Zarah could be doing any one of those things. We said the logic would have been that a city is treated differently when they're bemazed. So we thought that maybe there should be a difference for shogeg. What we're saying, but Rav Chilkiya is saying that on the face of it, there is no other korban that they could be bringing that isn't already spoken for someplace else. And the answer is that still there is, conceivably, they could still be bringing the same korban as the tzibur, just flipping it around, or instead of the power being for an ola and a sur for a chakas, it could be the other way around. That wouldn't be creating a new kind of korban. That would be taking the existing kind of korban that the tzibur is bringing and just flipping around which one is which. Or we would say again, sorech ve'en le'takana, it would mean that if a city worships Avodah Zarah, maybe there is no korban that they can bring. And therefore, the Torah Achas Yolachem teaches us that not, they still bring the same korban as individuals. So the Chachamim don't need that, because the Chachamim wouldn't hold of that svara to begin with. Just because we find that there's a difference between a city and individuals, b'mezid, doesn't necessarily mean there has to be a difference to shogeg.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're going to get, now that we've spent the last few blocks talking about things that are not, that are a side thing from Yevamos, because we talked about the Gzeira Shava that we learned that Ervas and Tzores are also for Yevam, and that led us into this whole sugya that discussed all the ins and outs of that and all the outgrowths of that. Now we're going to get into matters of Yevam, about the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, about all the family trees that are involved over there. Here's where we're going to need a bunch of diagrams. So, Amalei Levi Levi. My area to Tony Tesavon. So Levi, who was one of Rebbe's Talmidim, asks him, why is the Mishnah mentioning only 15 of Chamesh Esrei Nashim Poitras Tzoretein? Listen, Tesedayin, shouldn't it say 16? As we're going to say in a second, that there's a 16th case also, where one brother is married to a woman who is an erva to the other brother, and therefore we can't do Yibum. Omalei, so Rebbe realizes what Levi is getting at, and he says, Kim Dumali She'emai Moyach Kodoy. It seems to me that he, meaning you, have no brain in your head. In other words, it's a brainless question. It's a very sharp way for Rebbe to talk like that. The Chavis Yor has a tshuva about this that we find in many places in Shas where Chachamim spoke very sharply and very harshly to other Chachamim. One idea is over here, after all, Rebbe is Levi's Rebbe. Levi was a Talmud, and a Rebbe is entitled to, when he sees that his Talmudim are not applying themselves properly, he's allowed to speak very harshly to them and call them on it. So over here, Rebbe is going to say to Levi that what your premise is completely wrong-headed. With that said, you know, it's not, Rebbe actually, we find in a different place, had tremendous respect for Levi. The Medrash tells a story that one time there were the people of a city called Simonia that needed somebody who could serve for them as a Rav and a Chazen and Melamed and so forth, and Rebbe sent them Levi, and when the Medrash goes on to tell the story that there were certain things that Levi didn't know, and the people there were very surprised about it, Rebbe told them, I don't understand, I sent you somebody of my caliber, I sent you a person just like me. So Rebbe knows that Levi is capable of being on the same level as him, and therefore when he sees that Levi is saying something which Rebbe is saying seems to not make sense, then he's saying to him a very sharp expression like that, it seems you don't have any brain in your head. In other words, it's a message to him, apply yourself better and you'll realize why your question is not a question. So, my daita, Rebbe says, what are you thinking? What's the 16th that you could add? Imoy anusas oviv, you're talking about, you could say that the case is where one of the brothers is married to a woman who is the mother of the other one through oines rather than through marriage. So namely, we talk about this concept on Dalet Amud Aleph. So here we have, let's start with the diagrams over here. We have diagram 35, we'll illustrate it for us. The father, Levi, was married to a woman named Miriam. He also outside of marriage, by oines, by rape, or it could be anyway, outside of marriage, whatever, he had relations with Shifra. And they had a son, Menashe. So Menashe and Shimon, therefore, are half-brothers. But now, the point is, Shifra is not Shimon's mother. She's Menashe's mother. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, now, we learned previously on Daf Dalet that Rabbi Yehuda would say that Shimon is also to marry Shifra because the fact that she was his father's anusa makes her also to him. Whereas the Chachamim would be maturit, because they say only Levi's wife is also the Shimon, not Levi's Anusa, because here it was outside of marriage. So therefore, so you're telling me, Rebbe is saying to Levi, you're saying you can find a 16th case. Namely, in this case, the question is, suppose that Shimon had married Shifra and then dies, then Menashe can't do Yibum with her because she's his mother. And therefore, he wouldn't do Yibum with her Tzara either. Well, that's Chlokta de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. That is a machloktus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, to begin with, Shimon is not allowed to marry Shifra because she had had relations with his father. We learned on Daf Dalet that when it says, lo yigala knaf aviv, that Rabbi Yehuda had said, knaf aviv means his father's anusa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the case wouldn't begin in the first place. Shimon was never allowed to marry Shifra in the first place. Therefore, there's no possibility that when Shimon dies, then Shifra or her tzara should be up for Yibum. And so Rebbe says it would flow to like Hamayri. So therefore, so the Mishnah is not listing cases that involve a machloikas. All the 15 cases in our Mishnah are things that everybody would agree to. you want to bring in a 16th case, so Rebbe is saying to Levi, that's a nonsensical question, because that would only work according to the Chachamim, and we want according to the Yehuda as well. So the Gemara says, Veloy, so you're telling me not? I can show you that our Mishnah is dealing with things that are the subject of Machlokes. V'harei Isur Mitzvah V'Isur Kedusha. What about the women that are also on the grounds of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, namely the shniyos that we're going to talk about at the beginning of the second parak? We're going to talk about Yav d'araisa. There's about 20 arayas, and then d'rabbanan, there's another 20 arayas that are called shniyos. So for example, d'araisa, we'll talk about in the second parak. We'll talk about what all those shniyos are. But anyway, so that's called Isur Mitzvah, the Isur Kedusha, and you also have the ones that are also on the grounds of Kedusha of a Yid, for example, a Mamzeres or a Nesima. There's no Isur Kores for having relations with a Mamzeres, but it is an Isur Lav, and it's called Isur Kedusha, because it's an Isur that has to do with the Kedusha of the Jewish people. So what would happen? What would happen if the Yavama was an Isur Mitzvah or an Isur Kedusha? So now Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue on that. Rabbi Akiva says that even somebody who was also by a lab to somebody is not Kedusha or not Toifus, and therefore, according to him, Yibum wouldn't apply. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva would say, for example, that if the Yavama was a Mamzeres, then the brother who died shouldn't have married her in the first place. It was an Isur Lav, but the Chachamim say, nevertheless, Kedushin were Toifus in her. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that not. Rabbi Akiva holds in Kedushin Toifus in B'chai V'Lavim. Well, then, according to Rabbi Akiva, it comes out, then there wouldn't be Yibum in that case either. Toifus says, apparently, the Gemara knows for a fact that if Rabbi Akiva holds Kedushin aren't Toifus in them, then Yibum doesn't apply to them either. But we're showing him talk about how the Gemara knows that. One possibility, the Rashba says, that since the Pasuk says by Yevama or the Kocha implies that you have to be allowed to marry her la'alacha, and or not that you have to be allowed to marry her, but Kedushin would be Tofus, and since Rav Akiva says Kedushin aren't Tofus by a Mamzeres, for example, then Yibum wouldn't apply either, whatever the case. So according to Rav Akiva, if the Yevama was a Mamzeres, then you don't do Chalitza, or you don't have to do Yibum, and you can't do Yibum, and you don't have to do Chalitza with her, or with her. The Katani, and still we're saying in the Mishnah, only the 15. And in the next Perek we're mentioning about Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha. So you see that we are dealing with things involving Machlokas. And the answer is the Pirkin Kamrin. We're talking about in our Perek when we list the Chamesh Esrei Noshim and the outgrowths of that. We're talking we want something that's according to everybody, not just according to one Tana. Which is why Rebbe is saying to Levi, what you're saying, the case that you're mentioning, on Nusas Imoy, would be only according to one, only according to some Tanoi. So within our Perek, that's how we want. In other Perekim of the Masechta, sure, we're going to be dealing a lot with different Machlokes. Okay, the Gemara says, V'habes Shama Maturin at Hatzoras La'achim over Silo Oistrim. Later on in the Perek, we're going to be talking about this whole concept of Tzoras Erva is not according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would say in all the cases, all the Chamesh Esrei Noshim of our Mishnah, the woman herself, his wife's sister or his daughter, etc., of course, are also in Yibum, but the Tzora would in fact be Mutter according to Beis Shammai and required to do Yibum or Chalitza. So we see that the Mishnah is dealing with things of Machlokes. Doesn't it say later in the Perek that Shammai says that the Tzoris are allowed to do Yibum with the brothers, or Vesilol Oistrin, and Vesilol say that it's Osir? So that we see that our Mishnah is dealing with something which is the subject of Machlokes. And the Gemara says, okay, Vesshamay, but Vesshilol ain't a Mishnah. When you have Vesshamay against Vesshilol, it's not even considered a Mishnah. The halacha is almost always like Vesshilol, and so it is over here. Therefore, the fact that we have Vesshamay against that, we can ignore that. When we're talking about later Tanoim, where the halacha was not yet necessarily passing yet, like one or the other, our Mishnah is not dealing with cases such as Anusas Aviv that are a machloikas between them. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'arei eshes ochiv shloi hoyer ba'olamai." What about one of the 15 cases of our Mishnah was eshes ochiv shloi hoyer ba'olamai, where a brother was born after the original one who was married to the woman passed away? Depligid of Shimon v'Rabbanon. Now, later in our Masechta, in the next Perek, you have a machloikas between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon about the details of that. Vikatoni, and yet our Mishnah mentions it. And the answer is because there's a difference of the order of how things happen. You can have like this. What does it mean? So it means, in other words, that Reuben, the original brother who was married to this woman, passed away before Levi was born. But there's two possible ways that you can do it. There's two possible ways that can happen. One is that Shimon did Yibum with this woman, and only then was Levi born. Or the other way could be that Shimon had not yet done Yibum, and then Levi was born. So in other words, the scenario would be, Reuben married a woman, Esther, and this that we have over here in diagram 16, or diagram 36 over here. We have Reuben married Esther, then he passed away. Now, we have two possibilities. You could have Shimon did Yibum with her, and then Levi was born, or you can have Levi was born, and then Shimon did Yibum with her. Now Reb Shimon and the Chachamim argue in the next parak, what happens if Levi was born only after Shimon did Yibum? Reb Shimon holds that, listen, by the time Levi was born, she was already Shimon's wife. And Shimon and Levi lived in the world at the same time. So the fact that previously she was married to Reuven, Reb Shimon says, is neither here nor there. The fact is, she is the wife of a brother who lived in the world at the same time as him. Therefore, he needs to do Yibum with her. The Chachamim disagreed, and they say, the fact is, we have to look at the fact that she was originally Reuven's wife. But on the other hand, if Levi was born between Reuven passing away and Shimon doing Yibum, then we're saying, so that the Gemara says, Benolad of a Sof Yibum, like calling Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't disagree when Levi was born and then Shimon did Yibum, because the difference is, at that point, when Levi was born, definitely she was still also to him as his dead brother's wife. And it was Eshesach of Shalohai by Lamoi, and we learned that the pasuk implies that to do Yibum, it has to be that the two brothers were alive at the same time. So when Reuben dies, then Levi was born, and at that point, the moment he's born, he's already also to Esther because she's his brother's wife, and there's no possibility of Yibum. Then Reb Shimon would agree the fact that Shimon later on does Yibum with her isn't matter her to Levi. So therefore, so our Mishnah can be talking about that case. Lloyd Pollock. Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon is not disagreeing about that. The Gemara says, "V'ha'amar Reb Oshia cholakoy Reb Shimon after Rishona." But doesn't Reb Oshia say that Reb Shimon argues about both cases? And the answer is, "Hoy toisa Reb Oshia." The fact is, in the Gemara over there, in the second paragraph, we slog up Reb Oshia and show that that's not what Reb Shimon means. So therefore, we're back to that the case of our Mishnah can be, according to Reb Shimon as well, at least one of the two possible scenarios, namely where Levi was born after Shimon did Yibum with this woman. So therefore, we still can say that we're correct in saying that all the 15 cases of our Mishnah are agreed to by everybody. The fact that the Shammai disagrees, we don't care about that. The Shammai ben Kremba is still in a Mishnah. The fact that Rabbi Akiva disagrees, we don't care about because we're focusing on cases that are mentioned in this perek. In this perek, it doesn't say anything about Mamzeres or Shnius or any of those. And the fact that Rabbi Shimon disagrees doesn't matter because Rabbi Shimon, in some cases, would agree with the Chachamim. And that's the case that our Mishnah is talking about. Okay, but we have another problem. Well, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, V'chein Tani Rav Chia. You have it like this. Later on, in the third parak of our Masechta, we're going to be talking about a case as follows. Now, we touched on a couple of days ago the concept of Achos Zikukosai. That if you have a woman who you have a Zika with, so she was your brother's wife, and now she's up for Yibum Mechalitza, so until the Yibum Mechalitza is done, it's called a Zika, and she's called a Skuka, at least Midrabanan, you're not allowed to marry her sister. It's called Achos Zikukase. Midaraisa, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to marry your Skuka's sister either. So now, you can have a case that it describes in the fourth paragraph, which is where we begin over here with diagram 37. Suppose you have four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. Those two die. Now you have two other brothers who need to do Yibum or Chalitza, and you have a problem. So we have over here Reuben and Shimon died. Now let's consider. For Levi, one of each of these women is his skuka. Each one of them is also the sister of his skuka, because they're sisters after all. And the same thing for Yehuda. So therefore, neither of them is going to be able to do Yibum, because each one of whichever one he does Yibum with, it's going to be Achos Zikukasa. And therefore, So therefore, now, on the other hand, Daraisa, they would have been able to do Yibum. Daraisa, there's no problem of a Choskukah. So the result is, therefore, they have to do Chalitza. So therefore, Levi is going to have to do Chalitza with one of these women, and Yehuda will have to do Chalitza with the other one, because Yibum they can't do. But now, then the Mishnah goes on to say over there, now, here's a twist. Suppose that, of the two surviving brothers, one of these women is an erva to him, but not to the other one. So here we have the next diagram over here, 38. Suppose that of the brothers, so Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Now, Levi, suppose, had married Rachel's daughter, which makes Rachel, therefore, his mother-in-law. Now, when Reuben and Shimon die, so now we're going to say Levi is not. So Rachel is not going to be Levi's zekuka because she's his mother-in-law. She's an erva, and we said in our Mishnah she's one of the 15 women. So therefore, Rachel is not considered his zekuka. Therefore, Leah is not considered the sister of his zekuka because Rachel, as far as Levi is concerned, is out of the picture. So as far as he's concerned, it's as if there was only one sister-in-law, Leah. So fine. So he can do Yibum with her, and then Yehuda will do Yibum with, Levi can do Yibum with Leah. Yehuda is still not going to be able to do Yibum with Rachel because both of them are Zekuka and both of them are Achos Zekuka to him. So he's going to have to do Chalitza, but Levi would be able to do Yibum with one of them. And so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says, V'chein Tanei Rav Chiya, V'kulon, with all 15 cases of our Mishnah, and he could have the Hanah, that in all these 15 cases, you can find a scenario where one of the women is also to one of the surviving brothers as an erva, and the other one is not. And therefore, that one of them is going to be able to do Yibum with one of the women, and the other one is not. And therefore, that her sister, who is also her Yavama, in that case, is going to be doing Chalitza or Yibum. Because, for example, in this case over here, in this diagram over here, since Rachel has no Zika to Levi, therefore, it's only Leah. So fine, Levi can do whatever he wants with Leah, Yibum, or Chalitza, as the case may be. Only Yehuda is going to have to do Chalitza, only not Yibum. So here we have this Rashi over here is probably the longest Rashi in all of Shas. He goes through how we see in our Mishnah, you have all the 15 possible cases, how we can apply this to each one of the other cases in our Mishnah. Each one of the cases in our Mishnah, you can have where one of the two sisters is an erva to one of the surviving brothers, but not to the other one. So we just explained one of those cases where one of those sisters turns out to be Levi's mother-in-law. But you can go through. So Rashi explains that at great length over here how the same thing could work with all of them. Let's look, for example, over here at diagram 40. So you have, let's say, for example, the two dead brothers are married to the daughters of, so Bitoy is going to involve only, Bitoy, we're going to say in the Gemara in a second, is going to involve, or can only happen to Oynas. So we'll get back to that one. But in each of the other cases, we can have, let's skip all the ones with daughters for reasons that we're going to say in the Gemara in a minute. So we can find, when involving only marriage, we can find each of the other ones where one of the women is also to one of the surviving brothers as his relative, as his erva, and to the other one not. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that applies to all 15 of them. But Rabbi Yehuda metargem mechamoyse ve'elach. Rabbi Yehuda actually says that really only applies to the seventh one and on Mishnah and onward, the mother-in-law and all the other one. So all of those you can find where such things can happen through marriage only without involving anything else. But Rabbi Yehuda would say it does not apply to the first six cases of our Mishnah, which are Bito, your Bas Ishto, your Bas Bnoi, and so forth, my timer, because given the Bito, but Oinsin, Mashkachas, Benisurin, my Mashkachas law. Because in order for there to have a case involving his daughter or the daughter of his wife or any of the other ones, that can only happen through oinus. Namely, so here's the diagram of it, diagram 40. So you have, let's say for example, Reuben had relations with a woman outside of marriage. So oinus mafata doesn't really matter for our purpose. Now, that doesn't make her also to Shimon. Had he been married to her, then Shimon wouldn't be allowed to marry her because unless it was a case of Yibum. But now, because Reuben raped her, then therefore she's not also to Shimon. Now Rashi over here says that Shimon raped her as well. Tosfos discusses because if Shimon marries her, then you'd still have, she's still considered related to Shimon, and then therefore that would have effect. So let's say we're talking about that Shimon also raped her. So neither one of them was married to her. Now, let's say she had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. So now Levi and Yehuda were saying marry those two women. Now when Levi and Yehuda die, so now Reuben and Shimon. So it's true, you would have each one of the women is his daughter, and therefore she's an heir to him, and therefore only the other one is available for Yibum, but that can't happen through marriage. It requires oinus to be in the mix over there, and therefore we can say we can be dealing only with cases that can happen strictly through nisuin, not ones that happen through oinus. So for example, let's say the case of Achos Ishtoi, because it's a little slightly more straightforward than the other ones. So Naphtali over here has two wives. Each one of them has a daughter. Naphtali dies. Somebody else marries Oda and Sila, Naphtali's original wives. Because let's say Naphtali had children, so there's no Yibum to talk about. They have children, Rachel and Leah. So now each one of them is a sister or a half sister of one of these two women over here who are married respectively to Levi and Yehuda. Therefore, when they die, then they have one of these women is their wife's sister. Shimon's wife is Leah, and Nama is his wife's sister, but Dina is not, and vice versa. So that can happen strictly through marriage. You don't need to get oinus involved over here. Whereas to have the case of a daughter or a granddaughter or his wife's sister or whatever, we're saying that would require oinus. So what we're saying is that all the cases of our Mishnah, you do have a case where one of the brothers is mutter to do Yibum with one of the women and also to the other. And we say, therefore, the concept of a host and kukasa doesn't apply to him because one of these women is not his zikuka. But we're saying, so Rabbi Yehuda himself says that we don't want to speak of the first six cases because that applies only to oinsin. But Abaye Matagam Afvite Manusosai. Abaye says it could work by the fact that it can work by Anusa as well. Kiven Dashkuchim Ashkachas. Well, the fact is you can find the scenario. So therefore, Iboyimin Anisuin Tebi. We don't really care whether it came from oinus or whether it came from Nisuin. Abel Ashes Achiv Shaloi Dahoy by Lamay Loi. But we're saying that the only way when it comes to Ashes Achiv Shaloi Hoy by Lamay, we don't have that possibility. There's no way to make it work with Ashes Achiv Shaloi Hoy by Lamay that we should have Hasudal Zem Uteris Lazem. There's no way of making that work because after all, she was a brother's wife. So we can't say, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Shimon and says that Eishes Achiv Shaloi Hoy by Lamay, it doesn't matter which order the Yibum and the brother being born, which order that takes place in. Therefore, according to them, there's no way that you can find that one of these sisters should be mutter to one brother and also to a different woman. So we don't count that. My timer. Kibin de Lerb Shimon, who de Mashkachas law, the Rabbanon le Mashkachas law, the Plug de Lerkamayim. So again, what we're saying is we don't want to deal with cases of Machloitis. And therefore, that case, if we want to be able to find, as Reb Chiya is saying, that with all 15 cases of our Mishnah, you can have a case where the concept of Achos Kukosa is going to apply to one of the brothers and not the other, you can't find that according to the Chachamim by Eishes Ochib Shalai Hoya by Lamai. So okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and work out how according to Reb Shimon such a thing, how according to Reb Shimon such a scenario could work, how you could have that some brothers might be mutter to do yibum with one of these women, and some of them not, and therefore for some of them the other one is a choisik kosei and the other one not. That's it. Welcome to you. So yeah, this is one of those things we really have to keep our head on straight and look at the diagrams very carefully. All right, we continue tomorrow, Best Hashem.